Sunday Mornings with Yellowknife Vineyard.
Well, not so secret sauce, and I'm excited to be preaching today. I normally don't schedule myself to preach and lead worship on the same week. However, I was going to preach on a different week, but we had a different speaker who ended up not being available, so I kind of jumped in last minute. But I'm happy to do it. So one of the goals of this sermon series is to provide practical ways where we can apply God's word to our lives. Do I need to adjust this a little bit, Richard, or is it good?
Oh, yeah. Do that.
How's that? That's better? Okay. We got a new mic because the last one was just feeding back dreadfully, so we're hoping this one's an improvement. Yeah, so this sermon's all about practical ways we can apply God's word to our lives. So God desires each one of us to have an abundant life. And the wonderful thing is, it's not a secret. God's word says that he will reveal himself to everyone who diligently seeks him. And as we heard last week from Jabin's sermon, God generously gives wisdom to all who ask him without finding fault. So this week I'm preaching on perseverance. And it just so happens that today is also the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. And we as leaders didn't plan for perseverance and the Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church to line up, but they did, and obviously God was planning for that for us. So today during the sermon, we are going to take some time to pray for our brothers and sisters across the world who have had to persevere through incredible persecution and hardship for their faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Before we do that, we're going to talk about perseverance. So what is perseverance? What does it mean for us to persevere in our faith? And how do we do that? So we're going to start by watching a short video about Olympian Derek Redmond from 1992. And it was the final race in the 400-meter final. And Derek Redmond tore his hamstring mid-race. And what happens next is an incredible display of perseverance, and also his father comes out and helps him. So we'll just watch that as we get started. Thank you. So Derek Redmond was a favorite to have a medal in that race, but due to that injury, he didn't. But he still finished the race. You know, with the help of his dad, he got to the finish line. And I think there's a spiritual lesson in there for us as well, to persevere. So today we're going to look at this trait called perseverance and see what Scripture says about it. From there, we're going to look at three ways we can grow in perseverance. And by the end, my hope is that we will see that by God's grace, we can persevere by leaning on the strength found in community, through repentance, and by fixing our eyes on Jesus, who has already endured for us. So our scripture today was Hebrews 12:1-2, one of our scriptures. What does the author mean when he tells us to run the race with perseverance that's set before us? So to help us answer this question, we're going to briefly look at two Greek words in the New Testament which are commonly translated as perseverance. So you could throw that first slide up. So the first word is ipomone. And this is the word we find in Hebrews 12:2 when it says to run with perseverance. So it means steadfastness, constancy, and endurance. It describes a person who is not swerved from their deliberate purpose and loyalty to faith, even by the greatest trials and sufferings. It can also mean patient enduring or sustaining. This word is sometimes translated as patience, persistence, endurance, or standing firm. The second Greek word commonly translated as persevere, you can throw up the next slide, John, is makrothymia. This word also means patience, endurance, constancy, steadfastness, and perseverance. However, unlike the previous word, ipomone, macrothymia also includes the concept of long-suffering, or the patient willingness to endure hardships and injustices from others without resentment. And this reflects God's own patience. In numerous times in Scripture, it says that God is long-suffering towards us. So when we look at these words together and how they're used throughout Scripture to describe perseverance, we can develop a biblical picture. So in the Bible and in Christian tradition, perseverance is the spirit-empowered, hope-filled endurance that enables believers to remain faithful through trials, sustained by God's grace and trust in His promises. I'll say that again. Perseverance is the spirit-empowered, hope-filled endurance that enables believers to remain faithful through trials, sustained by God's grace and trust in His promises. Richard, I'm wondering if I should maybe switch to the handheld, because it's just, yeah, okay, I'm just going to switch, guys, one moment.
Okay. Every time I turned my head, it was losing me there. So this endurance, it's not just steadfastness, but it also includes macrothymia, or the long-suffering, the patient willingness to endure hardships and injustices from other people without resentment, reflecting God's own patience. It is rooted in the assurance that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen. Perseverance enables believers to fix their eyes on Jesus, trusting in His example and God's sustaining grace to complete the race marked out for them. The word used for race in Hebrews 12:1 is draws to mind the Olympic Games, the Greek Olympic Games. And that's what the author of Hebrews is kind of getting us to think of when it says run the race. It's like a marathon, to persevere. So the ability to persevere does not come from human strength, but from God's sustaining grace. And this is really important for us to understand. This is not something that we just kind of clench our fists and push through on our own. This ability to persevere through all of the hardships and to keep our faith comes from God. It comes from His grace. Yes, amen. And it is deeply tied to hope. Romans 5, 3 to 5 explains that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And it goes on to say that hope does not disappoint because God has poured His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. This hope that we have is grounded in God's promises and the assurance of His presence, which strengthens us to remain faithful until the end. So now that we have an understanding of what it means to persevere, let us look at three ways we can receive grace from God in perseverance. So the first one is that we can persevere because we are not alone. We can persevere because we are not alone. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You are not alone. We're in this together." That's right. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses." I'm going to stop there. Whenever you're reading scripture and you see the word therefore, you should always ask yourself, what is the therefore there for? Because it's referring to something earlier when it says therefore. And this particular therefore that it's talking about is the previous chapter of Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is often called the Faith Hall of Fame because it highlights the lives of faithful men and women who persevered through immense trials by trusting in God's promises. Through examples like Moses, Abraham, and others, it shows that faith empowered them to endure hardships, not because they saw immediate results, but because they had hope in what was yet unseen. Their stories serve as a reminder that, like them, we are called to persevere with unwavering faith, knowing we are part of a legacy of believers who pressed on by looking forward to the fulfillment of God's promises. So when it talks about this great cloud of witnesses, that's what it's talking about. And this legacy of perseverance, it's not just found in the heroes of faith of the past. It lives on today in believers around the world who endure persecution, imprisonment, and violence for their faith in Jesus. Many Christians in places hostile to the gospel, risk everything. Many people are completely disowned by their family, by their parents, by their spouse, by their children. People face abuse, isolation, and even death. And they face this to hold fast to their commitment to Christ. Their courage and endurance reminds us that we are part of a global cloud of witnesses who inspire us to persevere in our own faith, standing firm on the assurance that God's promises are worth any cost. Standing firm on the assurances that God's promises are worth any cost. So their lives are powerful examples that the call to persevere is as relevant and vital today as it was for the faithful in Hebrews 11. So today, as we participate in the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church, we're going to watch a short video about some of our brothers and sisters in the faith who are facing very difficult levels of persecution. So, John, I'll get you to show that video.
The persecution of Christians is on the rise. According to the 2024 World Watch List, more than 365 million Christians face high levels of persecution and discrimination just because they believe in Jesus Christ. These high levels of persecution are present in more than 70 countries. Persecution can take different forms across the globe, but Open Doors' gender-specific religious persecution report tells us that for women and girls, persecution is complex, hidden, and violent. Across the World Watch List countries, women and girls commonly experience persecution within the private sphere, often behind closed doors, or perpetrated by those already known to them within their existing communities and relationships. Like for Sarah from Egypt.
When my husband found out that I was reading the Bible, he became furious. He beat me up and I felt and injured my head. I got 17 stitches in the hospital. As I was laying there, the very thing I feared happened. Rashid, my husband, handed me divorce papers, took the children, and disappeared.
Persecution leaves many women feeling unseen and isolated.
My village in Nigeria was attacked by Fulani militants. Perhaps because I am a young woman, that day, they kidnapped me. They said if we didn't go with them, they would kill us. They beat us as we walked. Some nights I was forced into the militants' bed. Eventually, they released us, but the pain wasn't over. I couldn't be around people. I couldn't sleep. The pain wouldn't end.
Persecution robs many women of their families.
یک شب شوهرم پس از ملاقات با گروهی گم شد. آخر شب بود و ترس من بیشتر شد. احساس کردم چیزی بد اتفاق افتاده است. روز بعد متوجه شدم که جسدش را با آثار شکنجه پیدا کردن.
On this International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church, join us in prayer for women who faithfully follow Jesus despite the cost. Our sisters in Christ are never alone or forgotten, because as we are reminded by the story of Hagar, we serve the God who sees. Remember her.
I think it can be easy for us in Canada to forget about the intense hardships that many Christians are facing around the world. So we're going to take a few minutes and we're going to pray together using the prompts on the screen that are going to be shown. And we are joining in with millions and millions of Christians around the world who today are praying for the persecuted church. So there is prayer going on all over the world right now, and we are joining in as one body to pray for our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted. And so I'm going to read these prompts. What I want us to do is to just get into with people that you're sitting, groups of two or three, and we're just going to pray together these prayer points. So the first one I'm going to read, I know it's a little bit small, I'm going to read it out. First one I read will be this section. The second, you'll pray for the second prompt in this section, and the third prompt, you guys will pray over here. And then we'll give this about 5 minutes, and then we'll carry on with the sermon. So the first one, for this group over here, when a Muslim woman in the Middle East and North Africa converts from Islam and becomes a follower of Jesus, she's often banned by her family, cut off from all financial support. So we're going to pray that local churches will provide for women and converts and pray for employment opportunities. Second prompt is, we're going to pray for converts whose parents place them under house arrest because they have left the family's religion. They cannot visit Bible study groups or go to church. Some parents even take away a woman's phone and laptop computer to keep them from having any contact with other Christians. We're going to pray and ask the Lord to guide those women and pray that parents will accept their daughter's religious choice. And the third, for this people sitting over here, young girls are often seen as inferior to young boys. And as a result, girls grow up feeling devalued by disengaged parents who believe girls are not worth their investment. So pray that girls who grow up in this environment will discover their value and identity in Christ. So over here, we're praying for Muslim converts that they'll be provided for and have employment opportunities. In the middle section, we're praying that God will guide women and daughters that have been placed under house arrest and restricted their access to communication. And over here, praying that girls who grow up in an environment where they're devalued and disengaged will discover their true value and identity in Christ. So I'm going to just put a timer on, and let's just pray and just lift up. I'm going to open us in a word of prayer, and then we're going to pray for our sisters around the world. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you come and fill this place. Lord, give us compassion for our brothers and sisters who are enduring very difficult persecution for their faith in you. Help us to pray and help us to lift them up to you for encouragement. In Jesus' name. Let's pray together. Going to say one more prayer for those facing persecution. Father, we just pray that you will comfort all of these people across the world who are facing persecution for your name. Lord, I pray that you would be so near to them, that you would reveal yourself to them, and that you would help them to endure, you would meet their needs, and you would help them in their faith, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And I encourage you to remember those facing persecution often in your time of prayer and to lift them up. So we're continuing on now with our sermon on perseverance. And again, that first point is that we can persevere because we are not alone. There's people all over the world facing incredible challenges, just like we are facing challenges in our to keep going in our faith. And different people in different regions are facing different types of challenges, but perseverance is something that we all must do as believers. So the second way that we can receive grace from God in perseverance is through repentance. It's our second point. Repentance leads to perseverance. Our scripture today from Hebrews says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Unrepentant sin is one of the greatest obstacles to perseverance, as it entangles us and holds us back from fully following God. The imagery here is like weeds or rope or cables or something that's getting into your feet as you're trying to run, trips you up. Sin encompasses anything we do that we know is wrong. 1 Peter 2:11 says to abstain from sinful desires, which wage war against your soul. When we indulge in sin, it harms us and harms those around us, and wages war on our very souls. And so through repentance, we shake this off, we put it aside, we turn back to God. But not everything that hinders us is sin. It says to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Some things are just neutral things, neither good or bad. But they can be harmful for our faith if they hinder us in our walk with the Lord. Right now, I just want you to think, is the Lord bringing something to your mind that he's calling you to throw off, get rid of, or repent of? Whether it is a sin you need to repent of, or just a hindrance, something that's holding you back. I encourage you to not leave here today without praying about that, or having someone pray for you. We're going to have space for that later. So repentance leads to perseverance. When we repent, we experience God's grace and mercy and forgiveness. The third way we receive grace from God in perseverance lies in the truth that we can persevere because Christ persevered. In our lives as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are many things that we will experience that will tempt us to give up. And I'm going to share a brief story from my own life that's something that Rachel and I had to endure through. So my wife Rachel had an injury which left her with headaches for many years. And she had to take some time off work to recover. And it was a very difficult time for our family. And praise God, she's healed now by his grace. But it took a while. And during that time, we also had 2 miscarriages in 1 year. And it was a very, very difficult time in our faith to continue on and to keep the faith. But through the strength that God gave us, we were able to persevere. And that's because we can look to Jesus. So there's many things that can cause us to get tripped off or to get off our track. And some of these things are self-caused. Sometimes we do things that are just dumb. And for lack of a better word. Sometimes there's spiritual attacks that we experience. We have an enemy, the devil, and he wants to destroy us. It says in John, he's like a wolf or a lion. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. In Ephesians, it says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, the rulers, the evil forces of darkness in high spiritual places. And sometimes other things is just because we live, life is hard. So we come across challenges. And in this world, we'll have trouble. And Jesus said that, we will have trouble, but he said to take heart, because he has overcome the world. Amen. We may face persecution, financial difficulty, marital problems or challenges. I know of many immigrants to Canada who have had to separate from their spouses. Some even in our congregation have had to separate from spouses and live at long distances. That's challenging to our faith. Some face mental health challenges. Some will face ridicule or hatred for Jesus' name. We may face false teaching, which tempts us to get off track, which is currently rampant right now, especially on social media. And we also face an increasingly sinful culture, which is opposed to God and his ways. And through all of these challenges, Scripture says that we can persevere. And we can persevere because Christ has already persevered to the bitter end for us. Our scripture from Hebrews tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. We can persevere because Christ persevered. On our own, we can't do it, but we're not alone. Christ is in us by faith, and the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us, lives in each one of us. Amen? The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in you by faith, the power of the Holy Spirit. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Our second scripture from Philippians 2:5-8 says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus is our example, and by grace and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can persevere through even the most difficult challenges we may face. We can persevere because Jesus persevered. As I prepare to close, I want to invite the worship team back up. And as we close, let us remember that God has given us practical actions and principles to help us persevere. First, we can persevere because we are not alone. Yeah, come on up, guys. Yeah. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses from the past and believers today who face persecution and hardship for their faith. Their courage reminds us to press on together, supporting each other along the way. We're not alone. Second, repentance leads us to perseverance. When we lay down our sins and anything else that hinders us, we free ourselves to run this race with endurance. And finally, we can persevere because Christ persevered for us. And he is living in us. He can persevere in us. We don't do it on our own strength. By fixing our eyes on Jesus, who endured the cross and now sits at the right hand of God, we are strengthened to face whatever trials come our way. Christ is our example and our power, enabling us to keep going with faith and hope. So let us live in this truth, knowing that through God's grace, we can persevere to the end. Amen. So we're going to sing one closing song, and then I will close the sermon with a benediction. And as we're singing through this song, I encourage you, if there's something that you'd like prayer for, if there is a hindrance or a sin that you'd like to have prayer for, or if you're going through a situation that's very difficult and you're challenged to persevere, please come and receive prayer. And I'll also be available after the after the closing to pray as well. But yes, thanks, Jabina and Jess. They'll be up here for prayer for anyone who needs it.
Thank you for listening. We hope you can join us again next time. Be blessed.